In your bulletin today is an insert of the scripture reading that we'll be reading and speaking from. I would like to thank our church secretary, Judy, for printing it in giant print version that we may read it. Thank you, Judy. In previous weeks, we have looked at scripture that's appropriate for children with an adult message. But today, the message is for adults only. I would rate it X-rated. Adults only message. Jesus receives an invitation to dinner, and he accepts the invitation. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to the end of the chapter, verse 50, follow along as I read. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at meat with the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet, and behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said, "Jesus, unto him, thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she had washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Heavenly Father, as I stand before you today, I'm convinced that we can better see other people, judge other people, and to better see and understand our Lord and Savior by using Scripture. In this passage here, in the time allotted, may we be able to see what the Pharisee saw, and what the sinner saw, and then what Jesus saw. As the parable is read here, embedded in this portion of Scripture, we see the two debtors, and Jesus, how he viewed them. That we come away today, Lord, forming our own opinion from that which was seen by these three in the passage read today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've always been trying to using Scripture to improve my vision because I realize that sometimes I see things in the wrong light. And so I trust more in the Word of God and what Jesus sees than what others see. So let's go through the verses here and look at three views of the same act. Verse number 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Verse 37, and behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, which when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. As I said earlier, this is an X-rated portion of scripture for adults only. This woman that says here in verse number 2, a woman in the city, she was also a woman of the city. I need to say no more. But in her sinful profession that she had followed, came to a point in her life that she wanted a change. And so she wanted to repent of that profession and sought redemption and would go into the synagogue and seek advice and counsel from the Pharisees. The Pharisees were ones that studied the law and traditions of the Jewish faith and would offer counsel to those seeking redemption. And so she went by day after day seeking counsel by those in authority and judges of sin. Apparently, this one Pharisee was her counselor. And the council listened to her profession and suggested that the best way to redeem yourself from your sinful ways is that which you have done for others for profit, you can do for the Lord in an act of worship. Use your skill set for the glory of God. And we're told in this passage of scripture, Jesus even admired the judgment of this Pharisee in the parable given, that he had judged right. So this judge was by the book. But also the judge went on the Pharisee that while she would go and administer in an act of worship of washing feet and this act of Jewish tradition of worship of those in the synagogue, he also thought she needed further counsel at night at his house. Let's call it private consultation. And she would often go to his house, continuing her daily consulting to redeem herself at his house. And I would just call it making a house call for the glory of God. It's as if this Pharisee could rightfully judge this woman's sin and offer redemption to her, but he could not see that her providing services for the glory of God in the synagogue, that she also provided the same service in private to this Pharisee, all in the name of redeeming herself. It's amazing how we can get two different views of sin. How the one who openly, this woman, advertised her services in the city openly and served at night, her profession, was considered a sinner, but yet the one that was recipient of such service in the synagogue and more privately in his own home, he could not see that as a sin to himself. He was counseling her. And so we look at here of the greater sinner, the one publicly sinning, advertising her trade, and one who is receiving the service in the name of the Lord. And verse number 37 says, and behold, a woman of the city, in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus said at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box. I see this Pharisee approaching by day as her counselor in the synagogue. Tonight, you're off. You do not need to provide your continued counseling redemption service tonight at my house. You're off tonight. And this woman took that to mean, well, if I'm off, I think I'll still go because Jesus is going to be there. And since I'm off from providing my service to the Pharisee for redemption, I'll offer my worship service to Jesus in place of it. And she initially came. And the Pharisee saw her come in as he had seen many times before, redeeming herself of him being a recipient of the services. And when she came in, she had brought an alabaster box of ointment. And verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash and his feet with the tears, and did wipe with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. What I see here is the Pharisee would customarily, Jewish tradition, have at the entrance of the door a wash basin and a towel. But when invited guests were to come, the host would wash the guests' feet and wipe them. But this night there was no water there because this Pharisee had no intention of washing and wiping Jesus' feet. So the towel was no longer needed. And of course, with the lady of the city not expected to be there, was no longer needed. So it was put away conveniently because certainly he was not going to provide this type of service to the Lord, to Jesus. Verse 39, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, what did he see? He saw the woman weeping, washing, drying, kissing continuously during the mealtime. When he saw this, he spake within himself. What's running through his mind? Have you ever heard the phrase, a penny for your thought? Hadn't there been a situation in which you would like what maybe someone might be thinking at the moment? Well, Scripture unveils this for a moment. And we actually, through the Word of God, the inspiration of God, through Luke, the recorder, the writer, reveals that mindset that was running through his mind. And it says here, this Pharisee, talking to himself, speaking to himself, his thoughts, he said, if this man were a prophet, would have known who this woman was and what manner woman that is touching him. For she's a sinner. Everybody knows that. And so the Pharisee was up here and he viewed Jesus, perhaps a prophet, but no, maybe not. He would have known. He's not even a prophet of God, a messenger of God. Why, he calls him master, a teacher, just someone knowledgeable in Scripture, in the law. Because had he even been a Pharisee, just one notch up, a prophet, he would have known. And Jesus answered in verse number 40 and said, and Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he goes on with this parable of a debtor, two debtors, each having a different denominational debt. And it says here in verse 42 that they had nothing to pay. They could not pay even a down payment, a small portion. They had nothing to pay. And isn't that the reality of sin? There is no way anyone can pay for the redemption of their own sins. There's no way we can do that. And so this parable brings into light the meaning of sin. We are debtors to sin, and that there's some that owe more and some that owe less. But this creditor, when he realized that no one could pay, he frankly forgave them both. I looked up that word frankly, honestly, sincerely, unconditionally forgave them both. The one that had committed, the one with the larger debt and the one with the smaller debt, forgave them both. Neither one could pay any, was the parable. But while three are in this parable, there are also three in this conversation and mind thought. The woman, the sinner, the Pharisee that could see and judge her sin, but couldn't see and judge his sin. Yet he was a good judge. He considered himself sinless, but this woman, the sinner. And then we had the creditor, who was none other than the Lord himself in this parable. And Jesus commended Simon in verse 43 and said, I suppose that he to whom forgave most, that he said unto them, you have answered right. You're a good judge. You are an excellent judge of sin for others, without saying you missed the mark for self-judging yourself. And he turned to the woman, Jesus did, and said unto Simon, see thou this woman? I entered into thy house. I was guest, invited. But thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears. You didn't even provide the water. And she wiped them with the hairs of her head. No towel. You didn't even provide it. I didn't ask to have my feet washed or dried in your home, but you didn't even provide it for her. And she provided what she had. Thou gavest me no kiss. Customary to kiss on the cheek. But this woman came into thy house, has not ceased by kissing the most humble part of my body, my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with the ointment, an expensive ointment, worthy to be contained in an alabaster's box. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. There were others invited this night to dinner, verse number 49, and they that sat at meat with him, the other Pharisees were there too. This was Pharisee night. This was the night that normally the woman of the city would come and redeem herself in the name of God on them. But she was off tonight. And so the other Pharisees saw exactly what was taking place among these three and the thought process that was going in the parable. And they that sat at meat with him begin to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? This man who was invited, they wanted to know more about him. Teacher, perhaps? Prophet? No, not quite. He would have known this sinful condition. But those reasoned within themselves their thoughts. And then verse number 50, he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. As I read this scripture and I ask God to take these words and show me what Jesus saw. And let me see the Pharisee's point of view. And this lady of the night, by faith, by her profession, who's seeking redemption. And I see a woman here who saw herself and humbled herself at Jesus' feet as a sinner. She saw herself as the greater sinner. The Pharisee saw himself, using the same scripture, as sinless, his sinless condition. But Jesus saw both of them. And the parable says one had a debt of 500, one had a debt of 50. One was 10 times further in debt, according to the parable. And here are two, by Jesus' view, sinners, the greater sinner and the lesser sinner. And Jesus saw that the woman here was the lesser sinner, and that the Pharisee, who saw no sin in his life and could receive the services as an act of worship, was the greater sinner. And the verse closes out here in verse number 50. Jesus said, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." This woman went away that night, working, counseling, washing, drying, kissing, anointing, for who knows how long, to redeem herself, which she could not at all pay any portion of it. She went away that night forgiven in peace. She had peace with God for the first time in her life. The Pharisee was left alone, as those invited guests left, and he sat in his own home and was at peace with himself. No sin in me. I'm just a Pharisee, rightfully judging sins of others. And my sin, there are none. So this Pharisee, at home alone throughout the night, peace with himself, the word of God had been spoken by none other than the Lord himself in this parable. And then the chapter closes out. Luke chapter number 8, there's another day, and Jesus goes off and ministers to others. And we're left here knowing no more than what's recorded. But I'd like to suggest to you, I don't think there's an idle word in Scripture. As I look at that parable, the three people in this environment of the woman, the Pharisee, and Jesus was the three in the parable. And the parable says that there was a certain creditor. That was Jesus himself. He had two debtors. That was the Pharisee and the woman of the city. They each had a debt. And the larger debt was the Pharisee, who could not see his sin. And then there was the lesser debt of the woman that realized her sinless condition and sought redemption. In verse 42, "And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both." I believe that that portion of Scripture where Jesus, in this parable, where the creditor, that certain creditor himself, forgave them both. But it wasn't that night. That night, the woman went home with peace of God. And the word of God got hope to that Pharisee and began to review the law and realize, as the parable suggested, there was no way he could pay for the sin that he couldn't at first see. And I believe some point in time, Jesus left that night and went to the Garden of Olives, which he always did, or the Garden of Gethsemane, and prayed for this Pharisee. That his mind would be changed, his heart would be changed, and he too. And I believe he did that because the parable says, Jesus forgave them both. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look at this parable embedded within a story with detailed words of thoughts in the room of what the Pharisee saw, what the woman did, and the message that Jesus brought in this parable, I ask that I see that when I go out into the world, that I be careful those that I judge by what I see, because I could be just as wrong as a Pharisee. And even to not to judge as those that judge themselves and recognize their condition, but to judge the way Jesus judges, in the fact that all have sinned, none of us can seek redemption except through him. Through an act of worship, by coming to him and confessing our sins, and he, regardless of the debt we owe to the nature of sin, he's able to forgive us. And proportional to our debt, help us realize the Savior that we serve, that the debt that we bring to him is equal to the forgiveness in proportion. And through that, we return our love to him in worship. Is my prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.